Living out the Christian faith in today's secular society. That was one of the central themes the Catholic bishops of England and Wales were confronting at their autumn meeting in the northern city of Leeds last week. The church leaders had a full four-day programme with some pressing moral issues at the top of their agenda. How to respond to the government's sexual orientation legislation, for example, and how to advise Catholic schools in the wake of Amnesty International's recent decision to support abortion in certain circumstances. Well, to find out more about these discussions, I talked to the head of the Bishops' Conference, Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor.
I think there were four issues of fundamental importance, three very practical ones. We've heard, first of all, the report from Lady Cumberledge and her commission on safeguarding of children, which was a follow-up to our report 6 years ago from the Nolan Commission about child protection, really, but this takes it a stage further. And so we had to discuss that. Very important for safeguarding of children. And also, I think, the way that the whole of the safeguarding of children is were embraced and taken hold of by the priests and people of our diocese. Secondly, we talked about the adoption agencies, very important indeed, because of the difficulties we've had over a matter of Catholic principle with the government with regarding the way in which our adoption agencies work and our focus on the family, on marriage, as the best place to bring up children. And because of a regulation passed by the government, sexual orientation regulation, it's made it very difficult for us. And thirdly, we had to agree a letter on Amnesty International regarding their decision to uphold the right to access abortion in certain circumstances makes our own affiliation, if you like, to Amnesty rather problematic. And the last thing is, which was very interesting for us, was of course a general discussion led by Archbishop Bruno Forte on the whole question of religion in society today, particularly in our Western society, so secularized. How do we, as believing Christians, as Catholics, take our place and play our part in the secular world of today?
The meeting was very good indeed. It got off to a good start because we had with us Archbishop Bruno Forte, who came to speak with the bishops about religious freedom.
As General Secretary of the Bishops' Conference, Monsignor Andrew Summersgill also attended the meeting in Leeds. He told me the thought-provoking discussions around Archbishop Forte's presentation were a particularly good way to begin the week's work.
It was a look at the way in which the Church can engage with and find itself within a culture which is more and more secularized, and how you answer the real questions that are being put in this whole kind of secular approach to life. And so Archbishop Forte spoke with the bishops, and then a group of academics and theologians from English universities came to join the bishops, and there were a series of seminars followed by a discussion, and it was quite a stimulating exercise.
Is that quite unusual? I mean, normally the bishops get together and talk amongst themselves. Is this departure a little bit unusual, perhaps, and quite stimulating, as you say?
Well, I suppose it is a little bit unusual, but it was felt that it would be a good way to try and just address a very wide subject and begin to help the bishops just to focus on where they would like to place themselves in, their specific role. And one of the ways we thought about doing that was for the bishops to be able to speak with others and just find where their particular role as teachers of the faith and pastors of the church, where that was situated in this whole context. And I think we will find ourselves just working through that in the next few months as the work of the conference carries on now.
Let's look in detail then at some of those key questions the bishops were facing. In particular, I had some questions for Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor about the Cumberledge report on child protection policy.
Certainly in the secular media, the question going to be asked is, well, does this put this whole chapter, this tragic chapter of child abuse in the church behind us? What's your answer to that?
My answer is that we are absolutely determined as the Catholic community to make our safeguarding of children not only a priority but also a model for how this particular need in society, not just within the Catholic community, but everywhere, that ours should be a model of way safeguarding of children is carried out. I should also add that we've included in this report and our response to it not only children but also vulnerable adults. That's a very important, as it were, addition to the first recommendations we were given 6 years ago.
But what exactly does this report say, and what changes will it bring at the local parish level? Monsignor Andrew Summersgill explains.
Yeah, well, I think in terms of parish life, there are probably two things that it's going to mean. The first is that at the moment, the structures and the processes within the church focus quite specifically on the protection of children. What the new arrangements mean is that that is expanded from the protection of children to include those who are described as vulnerable adults. And in common with many countries, there is a statutory definition of a vulnerable adult.
Which would mean, specifically?
People who are in need of care and of protection, people who perhaps suffer from mental illness and a whole range of things, really. It's really quite a technical definition. And the word and the concept that is used to be all-embracing in this is safeguarding. So I think that what we will find within parishes as this is rolled out during the coming year or so is that we will talk less about child protection but more about safeguarding, whilst not losing anything of the child protection provision we have, but we will begin to be expanding into that kind of area. And in a sense, it is really, again, it's what we do as Catholics. It's what we do within the church, that we look towards caring for those who are vulnerable. And what this is doing is just putting in the legal and the statutory safeguards in order to ensure that is situated properly where it should be. I think the other thing that will be noticed more specifically within parishes is that probably some of the processes that we put in place will be simplified, and that it should be a little bit easier to work your way around what can be quite complex areas, particularly when you're dealing with this interface between the statutory and, if I can put it this way, the canonical, the way in which the church is organised. And there's going to be quite a lot of work now to be done on ensuring that those two complement each other with perhaps more clarity than there has been up until now.
As you heard earlier, another key question facing the bishops was how to respond to the government's new anti-discrimination legislation, which obliges adoption agencies to consider placing children with same-sex couples. While reaffirming Catholic teaching on marriage and the family, Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor says church leaders must tackle the difficult question of how to uphold that teaching without compromising the valuable service that Catholic adoption agencies continue to provide.
Yes, it is extremely difficult. First of all, the bishops unanimously, of course, express our desire for the agency to continue their excellent work as Catholic agencies. But also, we unanimously declare that this work is based on the Church's moral and social teaching on the vocation of marriage. And those are, as it were, the principles on which we work. Now, this particular regulation seems to cut across this. The government have given us time to try and work out, a solution, and indeed have offered us money to seek ways in which we can uphold our principles as well as, in fact, not break the law. That's taking time and it's very difficult, but we are going to do our best because we want our adoption agencies to continue, but also we want to uphold our Catholic teaching that the family, that marriage is the proper way to bring up children.
How much in this debate are you listening also to the voices of the professionals, those who are working at the grassroots in these agencies?
Well, I think that the trustees of each agency and the directors have been very close contact with us in these whole negotiations, and naturally they're very worried because for them this is their work, which they do so very well, and they don't want to compromise, and I understand that.
although we may agree in principle with the church's teaching, as social workers and as community workers, we must always be open to, you know, the extraordinary possibility. We can't completely eliminate that. And on the one hand, legislation's trying to say, no, no, you'll always be open to the possibility. It will always be there as a right for same-sex couples. And the church is saying, no, it should never be there as a right.
Mark Wiggin is chief executive of Catholic Care in Leeds, one of the oldest charities in the north of England, caring for children as well as the disabled and disadvantaged people of all ages and backgrounds. He believes it's vital that church leaders listen to the expertise of committed Catholic professionals as they struggle to find a way forward on this and the many other moral issues of our day.
Well, I think it is important to find the common ground, because if we're not dealing with this issue, we'll be dealing with another issue, whether it's to do with morals, family values, what we can teach in schools, end-of-life issues, care for the elderly, etc. So constantly we are going to be challenged and faced with difficult decisions where professional discernment from largely the laity, committed Catholic laity, who are delivering these services, will have to make their professional judgments and discernments. And where we're associated with the church, take into consideration the position of the church, which is respected, but doesn't always, in practice, fit neatly with legislation and the law. So somehow we've got to work modus operandi for getting through these situations somehow. And we've got to sort of perhaps become a bit more sophisticated in how we, as professionals delivering on behalf of the church, liaise with the church, discern through the church, and at the end of the day, work alongside the church so that we don't have to, which is the worst case scenario, withdraw services and therefore remove ourselves from the real world around us, withdraw services from that world, and therefore we're not in there and in what I would call a modern evangelism. That is, being present in the world, working alongside colleagues of other faith or no faith, but presenting our values alongside theirs and working through these things. Now, if we're getting into sort of black and whites and rights and wrongs, moral positions are all very well, but at the end of the day, you've still got to be, to some extent, balancing these things and working your way through. And it's not a case of losing out to either side. I'm not saying there's got to be a compromise, but there's got to be a discernment of actually better working practices. Although we respected the position of the church, we also had to consider the fact that, you know, these are vital services. At one length, you could say that actually they're very supportive of the church's position, that they are things that contribute to pro-life issues. For example, you know, helping families to have children, ensuring that children with disabilities are not aborted before their birth, that there are options for adoption as one of them to exist. So in a way, by doing one thing, you might be denying something else of equal value to the church.
Let's go back a little bit to the history of adoption agencies in the UK, first of all. I mean, how many roughly agencies are we talking about, and roughly what sort of number of children are you dealing with at the moment?
Well, we're talking about roughly about a dozen agencies in England and Wales. And we're dealing with quite a few hundred children per year. Most of the adoption work that is done in this country is done through the local authorities, but the Catholic adoption agencies have got a very good reputation for a lack of family breakdown, for example, once the adoption has been made. For example, the Catholic adoption agencies have a 3% breakdown compared to perhaps a 25 to 30% breakdown in local authorities, for example. So we're good at what we do. The other thing we're very good at is actually placing very difficult-to-place children. In other words, children with disabilities, children with behavioural issues that are quite difficult to place with families. We seem to find the right families to match up with those children. So we're good at what we do. We perhaps represent perhaps only 10% of the adoption work that goes on in this country, but if that's how you want to measure it. But we are a very significant contributor to perhaps more to the quality of adoption work than to its quantity.
Upholding moral principles again while promoting the Church's vital justice and peace work was the issue at the heart of the bishops' discussions on Amnesty International, in particular how to advise Catholic schools which support the work of the organisation. Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor again.
It's a particularly difficult one again because Amnesty International is a very respected group that works for justice, human rights, and many, many Catholics, and in schools as well, and in other organisations, work alongside Amnesty. So we think this is important work, the work of Amnesty, in accordance with the Church's social teaching. But the Amnesty's decision this summer to uphold the right to access abortion in certain circumstances, and therefore compromise the fundamental right to life, I think has put schools, parishes, justice and peace groups in a difficult position with regard to formal membership. And I think schools and parishes might therefore have to consider alternative ways of continuing this important work. So we've sent a letter to schools along those lines. We cannot accord with their decision regarding abortion. At the same time, we've got to recognise that much of their work is very, very good work.
My thanks there to Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor, the Archbishop of Westminster, and earlier you heard the General Secretary of the Bishops' Conference of England and Wales, Monsignor Andrew Summersgill, and Mark Wiggin, Chief Executive of Catholic Care in Leeds.